Do remember that if you want to come and pray together as a church family, we pray at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning and 1 o'clock on Monday lunchtime. So they're great times to get together to pray. Sarah's got quick. Now, harvest. Yesterday I had a difficult day. Difficult day. Some of your parents will know what this is like when you take some of your older children to university for the first time and you go away and you leave them behind. That's a difficult thing to do. And one of the things that we did, of course, being really responsible parents, is that we want to make sure that our children have plenty to eat when they go to university. So we went over the top, went to the local supermarket, and it was a really bizarre experience, actually, because the combination of people in the supermarket was different to what I've ever seen before. So they were sort of dads and mums and teenage children going around in these little trios all over the supermarket. It was very strange, actually. You don't see it, I think, at any other time of the year, really. But as I was wandering around the supermarket, I kind of got a bit distracted and I thought I'd have a look at what was on some of the shelves. And I was just struck sometimes. I go to the supermarket sometimes, I just buy the things I need and I run in and run out because I hate shopping and I hate supermarkets. But I kind of had a look around and I found some interesting things. I found the first Christmas advertisement. Goodness me, what's this, the 25th of September? That's the earliest so far. So if you like mince pies, Christmas is for sharing, there you are. But it, more importantly, as I was in the shop looking around, it suddenly made me realise that in the part of the world where we live, it's very easy to think that our food comes from the supermarkets. That's where we go to get our food. And the shelves are always stocked, aren't they, with food, a little bit like that. And we forget sometimes, don't we, that actually a lot of what we eat comes from the ground, or perhaps from animals, or perhaps from the sea. And we forget, we go to the supermarkets and we think that's where we get our food from. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we used to have harvest services that were a bit different than this one. There used to be fruit and vegetables all over the place. My dad was a minister, and we had a long pulpit along the front here. And someone in our congregation loved to sort of balance the apples along the tops of the sort of lectern close to where my dad was preaching, hoping that when he preached, he'd throw his arms out like this and scatter apples everywhere. Now, we don't do harvest quite like that, do we now? But this morning, I do want us to think about some of the important lessons that harvest has to teach us about God. And the way that God uses harvest to remind us about some important things. And we're going to learn three things together this morning. Here's the first thing. Let's read it out loud together. Harvest reminds us to say thank you to God. A lovely verse that comes in James. Whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God, the creator of all light. He shines forever without change or shadow. I want you to think now for a few moments about the things that you want to say thank you to God for. There you are. Now, I want you to turn to the person beside you, 15 seconds, okay? And share with the person beside you what you want to say thank you for. Try and think of one or two things, all right? And then we're going to shout them all out together in just a minute, okay? Away you go. Okay, time is up. Shout out some things that you're thankful for. Love, okay?
Salvation.
Salvation.
Patience.
Life.
Life.
Health.
Family.
Family.
Pardon?
Friends,
football.
Neighbours, football, yeah, football, okay, yeah, shout it out,
clean water,
clean water. Education,
a lovely boss,
a lovely boss, thanks Charlie, there you get your brownie points, anything else,
chocolate,
who said chocolate, oh yes, you're my friend, chocolate. Lots of things we can say thank you for. And one of the things that harvest teaches us, it makes us stop and it reminds us to say thank you to God. And we're going to have some prayers now. And Edwin and Emily are going to lead us in some prayers. I'm going to come to you guys here, okay, so we can just stand here. Is that all right? And you guys are going to come and lead us in some prayers. So we say thank you to God this morning, all right? So let's do that, shall we? I'll hold this microphone, okay? And you're going to read those prayers. Fantastic. Who's going first? Thanks.
Dear God, each season brings something new for us to see and enjoy. It's sunny days and rainy days. Our crops grow larger, fruit and vegetables ripen, ready for us to eat.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you for all the food we have to eat. Let us remember people who may not have enough. Help us to be kind to others in our thoughts, words and deeds. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well done. That's excellent. Well done. So here's the first important thing that harvest teaches us. God takes harvest and he uses it to teach us some important things. So let's read it out loud together so that we remember it and we learn it. Are you ready? Harvest reminds us to say thank you to God. Now we're going to come to the second thing in just a moment, but before we do that, we're going to sing another song. We've got a bit of stage building to do up here at the front, so Charlie, I think, is going to come and help me with a couple of other people. And we're going to stand up and we're going to sing together. By faith, we see the hand of God. So we'll stand up and sing, and we'll get the stage set for the next thing that we're going to learn together this morning. Let's stand. That was impressive timing, wasn't it? Well done. I want the children to come and join me at the front, okay? So some of the younger children want to come up. Come and have a look at what's been going on here. There's definitely a very severe camping smell here at the front of the church at the moment. So let's have a look, shall we? You guys want to sit across the bottom step here. Let's have a little chat about this tent, shall we, in just a minute. Anybody else want to come up and have a little look? We're thinking about harvest this morning, aren't we? We've learned some important things and talked about going into the supermarket. And the supermarket reminds us that actually our food doesn't come from the supermarkets. It comes from God. He's the one who gives us good gifts, isn't he? So we've learned so far this morning. Let's read out loud together. Harvest reminds us to say thank you to God. And the second thing that we're going to learn this morning is on the screen. Let's read it out loud together. Harvest teaches us to be generous to those who are in need. I came across a wonderful verse in the Old Testament. It's really got me thinking this week. Tucked away in Leviticus, it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, don't reap the corners of your field or gather the gleanings. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners, because I am God, your God. And another interesting translation of that is about leaving them for the poor and the foreigners, those who are traveling through your land, those who have no home of their own. God's saying we need to be generous to those who have no homes. Now, what's this behind us this morning? What is it? It's a tent, isn't it? Now, lots of people today are living in tents. Here's some interesting and rather disturbing figures. In our world today, 65.3 million people have been displaced from their home in some way or other. And 21.3 million are now refugees, which means that one out of every 122 people in our world today is a refugee. That's a very disturbing statistic, isn't it? And half of those people are children, and half of those people, or all of those people, are refugees. And we're thinking particularly about Syria this morning, are living in things like this behind you. Now, what's this behind us again? What is it? It's a tent, isn't it? And there are lots of people living in tents like this. What do you think it'd be like to live in a tent?
Cold.
Let me get my microphone, actually, because then we can all hear what we're talking about at the front here. But I want you to think for a few minutes what it might be like. You see, sometimes we go away camping, don't we? Anybody been camping? Yes? Is it fun to camp?
Yeah.
What's it like? What do you enjoy about camping?
That you don't have to sleep in a bed.
You don't have to sleep in a bed. That's quite exciting, actually, when you're camping, actually, isn't it? You don't have to sleep in a bed. So when we go on holidays and we go camping, that's a quite exciting thing to do, really, isn't it? Because it means we get away from home and we get a chance to live and we sleep in a tent for a few days. What would it be like if we had to sleep in a tent every day? What do you think that would be like?
Cramped.
It certainly would, wouldn't it? What else might it be like? What do you think it'd be like in the winter time?
Cold.
Very, very cold. And yet there are lots of people living in what you see behind you every day. And some people have been living in one of these for over 2 years. We're going to see a little film in a few minutes about a family that have been living in one of these for a couple of years. And we're going to be thinking this morning about how we can help people from the good things that God has given to us to help improve situations for other people. Now, what would it be like to live in a tent if you had no... What would be missing in a tent that you might have in your house at home? Yeah.
Heating.
No heating. What else is missing in a tent? Yep.
TV.
No TV. Yes, you're absolutely right. What else?
No food.
No food. What else is missing?
Electricity.
No electricity. Yep.
Lighting.
No lighting. Yeah, what else?
No toast.
No toast. That's right. No toasters. No microwaves, no fridges. It wouldn't really be a very comfortable place. What else would not be there?
No breakfast.
No breakfast. You're absolutely right. Imagine living in one of these tents. Fun to go on holidays, isn't it, in one of these tents? But to live in one of those tents. What would we do? Are there taps in a tent?
No.
No taps. So that means no what?
Water.
No water. No running water. What else is missing?
I was going to say, would you have to collect water from the
rain? You'd have to collect water, that's absolutely right, yeah. And half of the children who are living in these tents can't go to school. Now imagine what that would be like. Some of you might say, wow, that's brilliant, mightn't you? But it's not a really good thing. If you don't go to school, you can't grow up, you can't learn, very hard to get a job, isn't it? So we're going to go back to our seats, and we're going to watch a little film about some people that are helping children and families who live in tents like this. So let's head back, shall we? And let's watch a little bit of this next film together.
I'm Juliet Kilpin, and I'm here in Calais in the unofficial refugee camp that is often called the jungle. I've been helping with a peacemaking project here, and BMS World Mission have been really supportive and encouraging of that. At the other end of the trail in Lebanon, there are even bigger camps and even bigger challenges to face, and BMS World Mission has been investing a lot of time and energy in Lebanon. The work they're doing there is so important at this time, and I'd encourage you to open up your hearts and your minds to think about how you can respond. The people behind this so-called migrant crisis are real human beings, loved by God and made in His image. We can't afford to turn away from them.
This is Ali and his daughter Nermeen. Nermeen is 18 months old and has spent her entire life living in a tent in the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon. Their family is in danger of being forgotten.
Before the war, we were very happy. I was a taxi driver, and we were quite well off. We had a house in Aleppo. Everything was going well. But then we had to flee the bombings, death, and terrorists. I cannot explain how things have changed.
The Hishami family, a part of the estimated 1.2 million Syrians in Lebanon who have escaped the bloody civil war in Syria. Most arrive with nothing and are in desperate need.
Things are really hard. I work for £4 a day to help support my family. If it wasn't for the help from the church, things would be really terrible.
Ali's family is one of over 1,500 vulnerable Syrian families receiving support from a church that was founded with the help of BMS World Mission. Today, BMS is supporting the church, which is led by Pastor Jihad, to provide monthly food parcels for these families. These packages are a lifeline for Nada.
These food parcels are helping me a lot. The oil, the pasta, everything they contain, they're so helpful for me and my family.
Refugee families don't just need food and shelter. Their children also need a good education to have any chance of a better life. Over 200,000 refugee children in Lebanon don't have a place in school and desperately want to go.
My name is Yara, and I am 10 years old. One day I would like to be a French teacher, but I haven't been to school for 3 years. I miss Syria, and I miss my school.
To help children like Yara, the BMS-supported church has set up a school for 300 Syrian children.
And there's a big impact and a big change in the lives of these children. Just about a week ago, one of the parents came to us and said, "You made them forget the war in Syria. And they are different students, different children now."
I'm 11 years old and I left Syria because of the war. I feel happy when I come to school. I feel I'm growing up to be something.
Because of the high demand, BMS has also helped the church to set up a makeshift school so that more refugee children can access education.
Well, we're going to come back to that in just a minute, but that gives you a taste, doesn't it, of some of the good things that are happening. You know, sometimes it's easy to be overwhelmed by the news that's coming out of Syria at the moment and to really throw up your hands and say, what on earth can we do to help? Well, this morning we're thinking of ways that we can help in practical ways. Now, I know you love a quiz, don't you, in Crofton Baptist Church? You enjoy a quiz? Bit of competition between the two sides? Yes? You don't sound terribly enthusiastic this morning at all. This quiz is going to help us to learn a little bit more about Syria. So if you were listening closely to that video, then you might actually know some of the answers to this question. So we're going to start with this side, okay? This is really easy, this quiz, because you get to guess the right answer, okay? It's on the screen, all right? So here's the first question that's coming up, okay? Which, can someone pronounce this for me? Is it Mete? Okay, that'll do, all right? Well, is it, okay, a dance, a selection of appetizers, a red hat, or a footballer who plays for Barcelona? A footballer plays in Barcelona?
B.
B. Absolutely right. Selection of appetizers. Okay, 1 point each. Back to Team A, all right? The Syrian city of Aleppo is one of the oldest cities in the world. When did the earliest inhabitants settle there? A, B, C, or D? Whoa. What do we think? So you think C? Hands up if you think it's C. Well, quite a few of you on this team. You're absolutely right. 4,300 BC. 2 points to this team, okay? Let's come back to Team B on this side here. How many refugees have fled the war in Syria to neighbouring countries, okay? March 2016 figures. A, B, C, or D? What do you think it is?
A.
You think it's A, do you? 500,000. Anybody else think it's a different answer?
C.
C? Some people are saying C. Let's have a look and see if you're right. 4.8 million people. That's a staggering figure, isn't it? 4.8 million people. Okay, let's come back to Team A over here. How many Syrian refugees have settled in the UK by December? That's last December. A, B, C, or D? A, somebody says. Anybody else say anything else?
B.
B? The answer is B. 1,000 so far. Let's come back to the other team, okay? Question number six, all right? What percentage... We're thinking of the number of people that have now moved from Syria into Lebanon as refugees. How many? What percentage is made up of refugees in Lebanon? A, B, C, or D? What do you think it is?
D.
You think it's D? Absolutely right. 25% of the population. Can you imagine what that would be like here in Britain? In the UK, our population extended by 25%. That's the sort of population. That's what's going on in Lebanon at the moment. We saw those pictures of the refugee camps a few minutes ago. Now, if you listen carefully to that clip, I think the answer was in this one. What is the average daily wage for a Syrian refugee working in Lebanon? Hey, you were listening really well, weren't you, this morning? The answer is £4. That's absolutely right. What a small amount of money, isn't it? £4. This guy used to be a taxi driver earning his own income when he was in Syria. Heard a little bit about his story. Come back to Team B over here. What percentage of Syrian refugee children in Lebanon can't go to school? Now, if you're listening carefully to what I was saying to children, you would have heard the answer to this. You weren't listening carefully, were you? Come on, Team B. What do you think the answer is? D. You were listening really well. Well done. 58%. It's over half, isn't it? Over half of children in refugee camps not able to go to school anymore, and we know what that means. Come back to this team here, okay? Which items has BMS provided for refugee families in Lebanon? A, B, C, or D? Pardon? B? D? B? D? Absolutely right. It is D. That is the answer. Really does help us to stop and think, doesn't it? Yeah, we call it a draw, all right? Because otherwise we won't be able to have coffee together afterwards, will we? But it really makes us stop and think. I want to go back to the statistic about children just for a couple of minutes. 58% of children in those refugee camps cannot go to school. That means they have to either go to work in order to earn an income for their families, or they have to sit at home, no school to go to. And we saw there wasn't really much, was there, in some of these tents. And we sometimes support the work of Sat7. I want to show you. Somebody said there was no TV in the tent a few minutes ago. I can't remember who said that. But in lots of the tents, in some of those refugee camps, there are televisions and there are satellite dishes. And here are some of the children that are receiving programs by satellite as they have the school come to them into their tents. So let's just watch this little clip and see the difference that that's making to some of these children. Importance of children getting an education. And rather than focusing on the huge problems that are going on in Syria, we want to think this morning about the things that we can do to help. We've been thinking this morning as we've been learning some lessons about harvest, haven't we? That harvest teaches us to be generous to those in need. That lovely verse that's tucked away way in the Old Testament, just teaching farmers to leave the edges of their land so that those who are poor, those who are foreigners, those who are passing through the land can receive food. The principle for that is that God is teaching us to be generous people, to give out of our harvest, which is the things which God gives to us. So let's read this out loud. Here's the second thing we've been learning this morning. Harvest teaches us to be generous to those in need. And we have one more thing that we're going to learn this morning, but we're going to sing another song before we do that. And we're going to hand out a sheet to the children and to the younger children in particular. If you want to write a prayer this morning that we can use at the end just to pray for some of the children in Syria, or perhaps thank God for the things that he's given to us, you can do that as we come into the last few minutes of our service this morning. So we're going to stand and sing our next song together, which actually is a prayer which we can pray as we sing. Beauty for Brokenness. That's a very powerful song, very powerful prayer. Shall we? In the last few minutes of our harvest service this morning, there's one more thing that we want to learn about harvest together this morning. So in any good learning situation, it's good to repeat, isn't it, what we're learning together this morning. So we've been thinking, haven't we, that how we can become detached sometimes between thinking that our food comes from the supermarkets when actually our food comes because God provides food for us. We've been thinking about God sending rain, haven't we? And allowing things to grow. Sometimes it's good to stop. And harvest helps us to do that. It reminds us, as we've been learning this morning, the first thing that we've learned so far is this. Let's read it out loud together. Harvest reminds us to say thank you to God. And we spent quite a bit of time, didn't we, sharing some things to say thank you for this morning. That's the first thing that we've learned. Second thing that we've learned this morning is this. Harvest teaches us to be generous to those who are in need. Out of the harvest that God has given to us, we're thinking this morning about how we can give back to those who are in particular need, focusing in this morning on the country of Syria and some of those millions of refugees. Here's the third thing that we're going to learn together this morning. Harvest encourages us to follow Jesus. It's interesting that Jesus took the picture of harvest and used it to show us that we have a responsibility as the followers of Jesus to share the love that God has given to us with the world around us. He said that the world around you is like a harvest field. It's ripe and it's ready for you to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to show people that God loves this world which he has created. And we're to bring that message of God's love to people. But we're also to bring it in practical ways, as well as speaking it. God says to us, I want you to do that in very practical ways. And that's what we're going to be thinking about in the last few minutes of our service this morning. Andrew's going to come and read some verses from a story which Jesus told. And in this story, we get to see the people whom God is pleased with, because they have understood what it means to share this message of good news, not just with their lips, but also practically as well. So Andrew, where are you? Come on up here and read this for us. We've got it on the screen so that we can read it out loud or listen to you as you read it. And then just think about what Jesus says in this story.
Then the king will say to those on his right, my father has blessed you. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me, and when I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. When I was sick, you took care of me, and when I was in jail, you visited me. Then the ones who please the Lord will ask, when did we give you something to eat or drink? When did we welcome you as a stranger, or give you clothes to wear, or visit you when you were sick or in jail? The king will answer, whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me.
Thank you, Andrew. Do you notice at the top of that screen what it says? Then the ones who please the Lord will ask. This message that Jesus is giving to his disciples is a way of helping us to understand that not only do we speak the good news of the Christian faith, but we actually plan it out practically. We do it as well as speaking it. It's very important, isn't it, what Jesus says in this passage. How practical is this? I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. They're pretty practical things, aren't they, when you see them on the screen. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the way in which I want you to love those around you. That's the way I want you to love those who are in this harvest field world that Jesus is speaking about. How do we do that on a Sunday like today? You see, it's easy, isn't it, when we come to think about Syria and we think, wow, I always want to turn the television off sometimes because the news is so bad and so tragic and so difficult. And sometimes we can get to the point and we think, actually, we can do nothing. But actually, we can do some really practical things this morning. And that's really what this service is all about this morning. It's about reminding us, first of all, that we can give, okay? We can give financially. And we've seen a little bit of the work, haven't we, of Baptist Missions this morning and what they're doing to help specific families in Syria and in parts of Lebanon and in other refugee camps across the world. We can give this morning. So these green envelopes are here to help us to give. If you're not prepared to do that this morning, why not take one away and bring it back and put it in the offering next Sunday? We can make a difference. You've seen what happens when you sort of scale it down to individual families and situations. We can make a difference in people's lives rather than being overwhelmed by the totality of the picture. So the first thing that we can do is give. And we're giving not only financially this morning, but it's wonderful to see what's happened in this corner since I came to church early this morning. There was nothing here when I came in this morning. And now it's packed full of foodstuffs, which are going to be given to people locally. So not only are we helping people in Syria, we're helping people locally through our local food bank. There are many people, sadly, in our country, 1 in 5, living below the line of poverty in our country. We want to be a church that makes a difference in people's lives. So we're doing that this morning as part of our harvest. As we give out of what God has given to us, we want to give to those who are poor, those who are marginalized, those who have no homes. That's the first thing that we can do. We can give. The second thing that we can do this morning is we can write. And lots of us can write, can't we? Open Doors have a very powerful petition which is going on at the moment. It's petitioning our government to make a difference in the country of Syria. It's particularly helping to give dignity to those who've been marginalized. The right to equal citizenship, dignified living conditions, a prominent role in reconciling and rebuilding society, 1 million voices of hope. You can sign that today, and that will be sent to our government. That's something else we can do practically. They're available in the foyer and also in 2 places on the way through to coffee this morning. So we can give, we can write, and of course, what we're going to do in a few minutes is we are going to pray, because we believe that prayer changes things, don't we? That when we pray, somehow God works in ways which we don't understand. That's why we were praying this morning, saying thank you to God for the good things that he's given to us. In a few moments, Sheila's going to come and lead us in a prayer for Syria this morning as we pray that God will move in that really difficult and dangerous and horrible situation. And we're going to pray for some of the children that we've seen. And if some of our children have got sheets this morning and you've got a prayer that you've written, when we finish the last song in a couple of minutes, you can bring those prayers to the front and we'll use those prayers as we finish. Before Sheila comes to pray, here's a very short clip from Open Doors, just explaining what they're doing and giving us a message. This is really helpful, a message from the church in Syria back to us this morning. Really powerful, short little clip.
It's very important and meaningful for us as Middle Eastern to see the church with its roots deep back in history stay there and do the work of Christ there, like a light in the darkness. Every prayer meeting, we have somebody that would say, the Lord saved me this week from a bomb or a missile. I want to encourage everybody that their prayers has been and is still being answered.
So this morning we can give, we can sign the petition, we can write, we can raise our voices, and we can pray. Where is Sheila? She's going to come and lead us in a prayer this morning for some of the things we've been thinking about this morning. And for some of the children that we've been thinking about too. I just want to remind you, probably can't quite see it, but I'll move it in a minute. But Helen Amos has done a very powerful flower arrangement for this morning, two children's Wellington boots with some flowers in it to remind us powerfully of the children that we're thinking about this morning. Thanks, Sheila.
And in my prayer, I'm going to include a prayer that has been written by Open Doors. Their leaflet contains more information about some of the things we've been hearing this morning. So let us pray. Loving Father, as we bring you our praise and thanks on this Harvest Sunday for all your goodness to us and for everything you give us, we want to pray for those in our world who have had all your gifts taken from them because of the war surrounding them at this time. We pray especially for people in Syria who are struggling to stay alive, and for those who have managed to escape from their homeland but who are now destitute, living as refugees in neighbouring lands. And so we want to join together with other supporters of the Open Doors charity in praying this prayer for those who have been bereaved or traumatised, that you would bring healing through caring churches. For the thousands of displaced families who have no income, that they might find employment and provision for their needs. For children and young people whose education is on hold, that there will be opportunities for learning and fun. And we pray for world leaders and peacemakers, that through the power of your Spirit, Lord, the people of Syria may be given back not only peace, but equality, dignity, and responsibility. In the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Sheila, thank you so much. Really helpful prayer to conclude with. Let's see if we can remember what we've learned this morning. Three things that Harvest teaches us from God's word this morning. The first thing, let's read it out loud together. Harvest reminds us to say thank you to God. Second thing that we've learned, Harvest teaches us to be generous to those in need. And the third thing, Harvest encourages us to follow Jesus. And there's really practical ways that we're thinking about this morning. Giving, writing, and praying. We're going to sing our final song. As we do that, children, have you written a prayer? Do bring it to the front, will you? And we're going to take our offering. I haven't forgotten that this morning. Deliberately left that to the end of our service this morning. If you want to give to some of the things that you've seen this morning, you're not prepared to do that, then just put it in an envelope next Sunday. You might want to give to Sat7. You might want to give to Open Doors. You may want to give to BMS. We will make sure that any of those gifts find their way to the right people. Let's stand and sing a song of thanksgiving as we finish together this morning. Another great Harvest hymn. Let's stand and sing together. Come ye thankful people, come.